Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine. The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Play.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
Nope, not even kind of nope.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to keep there.
Low. The lowest of all budgets live, not so live, from the low budget live bar and grill in beautiful southern cold middle Tennessee. Hope all you low lifers are doing well out there. The podcast for Monday, January the 9th, and we done moved one of them weeks. Another week's gone. We are week into this 2023. Hope it's treating you well so far. Know a lot of you got to go back to work this last week. I know I did. And man, the Christmas break was good. I feel like a school kid when I say that. And I think the world kind of woke back up this week on the third, I believe, is when everybody kind of went back. And man, it was a lot. It was like being in a Category 5 hurricane all week. And I hope yours was a little bit better than that, you know. But man, in the boat world, this is when things start popping off, is January. You got this, everything kind of slows down at Christmas just a little bit, okay, in the marine industry, the boating world, the fishing world, everything kind of, just give me a break. I'll sit on the couch a little bit. And then it's like, actually, it's more like this. On the third, and you're like, what just happened? And it's just like a 5-alarm fire drill, man. So, Lots of moving and shaking going on, but hope all of y'all doing well out there. I do. Hopefully it's not. We had some warm weather this week, which is rare for us lately, and then now it's back to being bipolar and cold. Actually, the bar and grill is about a balmy, 59 degrees right now, so I am a little chilly out here. Not going to lie. The lights are keeping me a little bit warm, but I had turned the air on because it was so hot out here 2 days ago, and I forgot, came out to record this morning, and it is a little bit nippy up in here. All right, let's thank these sponsors. I got a good one for you today. I know I got to thank y'all for all the kind words about the JT Kenny conversation last week. I know it was long. Me and my brother went for 2 hours. A lot of y'all hung in there for the whole thing. I see those numbers, man. Thank you so much, because it was an important conversation, I feel like, for me and JT to have. And I feel like there were a lot of, we're goofy, we're all over the place, but I feel like it was a good conversation, and I hope all of you enjoyed it. I know from the comments, it certainly seems like so many of y'all did, and I really appreciate that very much. This week will be not 2 hours long, but fingers crossed, a good conversation with somebody that I really, really think the world of. And haven't had on since 20, I'd have to go back and look, but I think 2019. So looking forward to the guest today, for sure. StarTron, bringing you LBL for 5 years, kicking ethanol in the teeth, getting it out of your bass boat, your chainsaw, your weed eater, your side-by-side, your precious investments. Ethanol will ruin them. Now I sound like a news network. Ethanol, ruin everything. Everybody gonna die. Ethanol. It is bad. It's bad. And I don't care if it's an older outboard, a new outboard, ethanol can gum up the works. Trust me, especially if you leave that thing parked in the garage for longer than 2 weeks. So a little dab will do you. Get you a bottle of StarTron. You do not have to shake it. This enzyme-powered fuel treatment, kick it in the teeth with StarTron. We appreciate the boys down there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for bringing you LBL. Pro Guide Batteries. I'm talking about got me powered up. Got me powered up. There's a lot of lithium companies out there. There's a lot of battery companies out there. You really, Billy Bob Lithium. I got the most power, 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 power. We are the power. We got power. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them out there. There's some good ones out there. But there's a lot of people that look like they went to the flea market and got a lithium battery and stuck a sticker on it. Or maybe it's just some energizers put in a plastic case. I'm not sure. And then they put blah, blah, blah lithium on the side of it. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. I know this. ProGuide Battery has been in the battery business for a very, very long time. They support a lot of OEM bass boat manufacturers. And that's what a lot of these battery companies cannot say. They did it on just normal batteries for years and years and years. Your lead acid, your AGMs. But now they're in the lithium game. I've got them running them for my trolling motor batteries. Playing around with some new prototype things as well. You can check them out. ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10 to get you a break. Baitworks.com. And today is very exciting. I am announcing the LOB jig when it will be available. Right here, the LOB Power Finesse jig that I've been working on. It's got that custom trocar hook, this custom skirt that we designed, custom head. Really, really pumped about this jig. Y'all know you've heard me talk about it. I get a lot of y'all being like, hey, man, when's it coming? You can get them in person. They will be launched at the East Tennessee Fishing Show, which kicks off in Knoxville, Tennessee, January the 26th through the 29th. I know a lot of y'all Tennessee volunteers out there. Maybe you're in Virginia. Maybe you're close. Maybe you visit that show. Anyway, it's a big show. It's always one of the biggest fishing shows in the country. I'm going to be there. I'm not sure which day yet, but I'm going to be there. 26th through the 29th, they're going to have this available. It'll be the first time you can get your hands on it. After that, it'll be available on baitworks.com after that. So probably I would assume the show ends the 29th. I would say they will be available on the website the next week at baitworks.com. Baitworks.com, Duncan-10 to save you some coin there. Be on the lookout for the LOB. If you're a jig fisherman, I promise you, you're going to get bit on this thing. 6 custom colors. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait. It's all coming together. Fired up. Thanks to Trocar for helping us with that so much. And we're really down to the packaging on it. But East Tennessee Fishing Show is going to be a good time. I'll let everybody know. I actually get asked that every year. I haven't been there in many years, but I'm going to try to make it up there to old K-Town. Go Big Orange. Last but not least, the Bassmaster Classic winning high performance 96-inch beam, 21 feet of pure badass machinery. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Got that 250 Yamaha show on the back of that bad boy, sea deck, bow to stern. And I promise you, if you take a ride in that Express X21, you will not be disappointed. More tackle storage than you could ever need. Big old live wells. Beautiful, beautiful bass boat. You give up nothing. You give up nothing in an aluminum boat. It's a better option. I'm telling you, they ain't cheap. You know, they ain't cheap. Some of y'all think you're going to walk in the store and get one for like $13,000. That ain't happening. It ain't a bass whacker, all right? It's a high-performance bass boat with a 250 on it, but they are worth every penny, but a significant option for you, for your wallet, compared to a similar fiberglass boat, for sure. Price them and let me know. Best hole shot in the industry, some of the best people I know in the industry. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right, quick housekeeping note. Speaking of boats, I've been tagged in this a bunch. This is the time of year where you see everybody being like, hey, man, I'd like to announce that I'm with Jim Bob's Plastic Worms. Here they are, Jim Bob, for all your worm needs. They got the worms. Jim Bob has the worms. You see every post, I'd like to announce, and it's always a bunch of companies you never heard of for the most part. But that being said, you see a lot of pros switching boats. I've got some dear friends switching boats right now. It happens. It happens every year. And it's a constant rotation. We saw Zach Burge is in a Blazer now. I hear rumors there's some other big names fixing to make some big announcements. There's a lot of things going on. But Jason Christie, Bassmaster Classic in an Express winning Jason Christie, right over my shoulder, express boats. I always say, hang the banner, and nothing has changed about that banner. It got one in an express. Two Elite Series got one by Jason Christie in an express, okay? Bill Owen won an Elite Series in an express. Multiple Bassmaster Classics in an express that he's qualified for, Caleb Sumrall. The list goes on, but he's now in a Skeeter. Jason Christie video backing it into the garage, and I heard tell of this a while back, and I consider Jason a friend, and I think he had a better opportunity in life. You win the Bassmaster Classic, things like that happen. Things like that happen. Some of them old checkbooks open up a little bit, and I know that he loved the folks at Express dearly. I know he loved the boat, and I think that business, this is a business. This is the business of fishing. I say that all the time. You get your feelings hurt if you think it's about hugs and kisses, all right? It's a business. And I see a lot of people, oh, yeah, we threw that aluminum thing in the trash. We did this, you did that. Oh, man, it ain't that. I promise you it ain't that. Now, you would have to ask Jason Christie himself. I am Luke Duncan. People have been tagging me, asking me questions in the post about it. I'm not Jason Christie. I'm not the big Indian, okay? As Wesley Strader calls it. I'm not out there Cherokee and Choctawing freaking giant deer down, winning the Classic. I'm not. You have to ask him. But we see this every year, and I think this in careers, loyalty is great, but in the fishing industry, it will burn your ass. It does at times. It goes both ways. It can be really good, can be really bad. But I think in life, if you can better yourself, I've always said this, like a TH Marine, if someone leaves that I'm close with or work for me or with me, whatever the case is, if they can better their life, I can't begrudge that at all. At all, in the least. And I got to think that's the situation with Jason. Better deal. He was already with Yamaha. Makes sense that it would be Skeeter if he was going to make a move. I know Skeeter's making some power moves right now. They're a fantastic company, fantastic people as well. And it's a natural fit for him, man, and I wish him the best of luck. You know, do I hate to not see him in the Express? Well, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'm sure they were it was bittersweet, you know, for them, because they want him to do well. They want him and his lovely family to succeed, but I'm sure they don't want him to go. And then at the same time, they're like, that's all right, big dog. You brought us all these trophies. Because, man, he did. He did. So any of the negative talk about an Express boat, obviously I get my feels about it because I care about those folks. But I'm like, if you think that thing slowed Jason Christie down, I mean, them Classics, he went in them other boats. He got close, but he did. Two Elites and the Classic and the Express. So there you go. That's my opinion on it. And this crap happens every year, man. It's funny. It's whether it's rods, reels. We see a lot of changes right now. Just swipe down an Instagram feed or a Facebook feed. It's nothing but that. I'm doing this. Saw Jordan Lee leaving Carhartt leaving him, however that worked. I heard a while back they were slowly pulling back from the fishing industry. I don't know if that's true, false, whatever, but I have heard that. And because, I mean, God, Carhartt's gigantic, right? So was it a good fit anymore? I don't know. So Jordan made a very classy post about he was going to wear whatever he wanted to, which would probably be a white T-shirt, knowing Joe. But lots of things like this happen every year, and of course, I guess I get why people tag me in it, because I am close with Express and you know, pretty close with Jason. But I'll be honest, heard that he was making a change, did not know where he was going to end up until it ended up on my Instagram feed. So that's Jason keeps things close to the vest. That's just how Jason rolls. All right. That being said, we are getting closer. Closer and closer and closer to kicking off this 2023 season. You got Bassmaster Elite Series. You got the BPT. You got MPFL. You got all these things fixing to kick off. Really, MPFL not to March, but February is when all this stuff really starts popping. And we're going to talk to a guy today. We're going to get the sauce. Presented by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire sauce. The W Sauce is good on everything. You can even drink it. I wouldn't. You might drink too much of it, you know, because it's that delicious. The W Sauce bringing you this interview. This man is one of my heroes. He is one of the legends. He carved out a place in this industry after many, many years of being a successful tournament fisherman. Many, many years. Then he got in front of the camera and became one of the greatest to ever call professional bass fishing. His name is Mark Zona, and we are going to talk to him via Zoom, thanks to the W Cells, right now. Okay, as promised, here he is, Uncle Z, and, you know, known these days as the Lake Menderchuk Pro, right?
Yeah.
That's what I hear. That's what I keep hearing. That's what the kids are saying on the internet, Uncle Z.
It's become almost as alluring, mysterious as Saskatoon Bay. Both of which do not exist. They do not exist. Well, there was a dude. It was not Menderchuk, but obviously I get Menderchuk from the Van Damme days of blah blah blah. But I shot one with Seth, and I was doing it. This is pre-pandemic, and I was doing a seminar. Show aired, and this guy comes to the seminar, and he has got a map book, Luke, a map book. And he's like, I have scoured the earth for Saskatoon Bay. And I said, you got to keep scratching, bud. But, hey, if he's watching Low Budget Live, ain't no Saskatoon Bay out there.
Tear your maps up, bud. You're never going to find it. I had a little birdie tell me where it was close to at one time. My Uncle Z being the birdie, and nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know any different. And
it's right there.
It's right there. You hang with
a bunch of the Sixth Sense cats.
Yeah.
And I think they probably, I'm not going to go with probably, I think they have truly learned the power. If you done catch a big one on camera, might be best you don't say where that came from.
I don't spend as much time with that crew as I used to, but I can say I was in on a week that ruined one of the best places in the country. And
absolutely,
and that were pissed, and I was on here going, "Screw you guys for being mad." And now I totally understand why they were angry.
I was busy the week before destroying another lake down there.
Yes, you were. You know, there are. So I got to ask you this for your shoot, because how many seasons are we in now with the Z Show?
If you combine the old school, like the back, you know, where it used to be with ESPN, I think we'd be on 16 or 17 now.
Crazy.
A little bit.
This year, and I you may already have this one in the can for this season that's out now on the Outdoor Channel. Did you go there? There's a lake. It's getting a lot of pub. It's really hard to get to. I won't say the name of it just out of respect.
Have not.
Okay. Just small. It just seems like it's in Z's wheelhouse. So I wondered, had you made that journey yet?
You know what's strange? And I give the cat that is doing all the damage out there. You know who it is. You know, if you get on looking for bigsmallmouth.com right now, you'll find him. He's been really, really cool and has invited me out there countless times. And what's weird is it's his jam, it's his gig, and some others. There's some others that aren't that. But really, I don't know. Am I going to go? You know, more than likely, probably. Seth, of all people, this is like 2 weeks ago, he's like, we need to pack the rig. We need to go next year. And here's the thing. You'll probably be a little behind the eight ball because the word is out and it got out. So you're kind of, you're chasing a bite. And I hate, dude, Luke, I hate that. I mean, you know this. You're that week you're talking about down at Ivy, that group invited me down. And there's a weird, weird thing about me since then. I did the Bullard's Bar thing with Ayler.
Yep.
Kind of as it exploded, and we were right there. I don't know. I guess I find a little bit more satisfaction of hunting the men, and I have found a half dozen of the Menderchuks, and there's five of them that are totally public. What's weird is the Menderchuk of the world, they're semi-public. They have very disguised boat ramps. Mm. That's a big kind of Midwest thing where you can launch, but you have to have permission to park somewhere. That's very common, actually. And you don't see that with a lot of the normal southern lakes or reservoirs where everybody, but especially during the pandemic, is looking and having a circle of trust that we look for those little 1,000-2,000 acre lakes that are there. They're now I do not name any of those because they're number one, they're so small. They would get devoured in a summer, literally in a one season deal. But I say this, on the show, you're gonna looking for those, you're gonna waste an astronomical amount of time. But when you find one, and they're out there, they're out there. I found one this summer that I haven't taped on yet, and I'm licking my. It just takes a lot of time to go look. Anyway, that was a very long ass answer. No, I haven't gone to the smallmouth lake yet. But I give that dude a lot of credit. His invitation was awesome, but I'm glad he's reaping, I think he is probably reaping the benefits of it. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. I feel like on things like this, it would be like you telling me about a smallmouth juice hole up by you after 6 years, after everybody finds it or something, I feel like I've been on the tail end of that. I was at Ivy when it went down and I saw the most amazing things on forward face on my live scope.
Yes.
Smallmouth record, whatever, they got broke almost immediately, but I never caught one over 10. I caught some eights. Darian and I had some crazy five fish stringers, but we were pissed because you were seeing these just beach balls behind your A rig and you couldn't get them to bite. And then the day we left, it was like 14, 12, 14, 10, 11. I mean, they cracked them the day we truly were driving home. We're getting pictures from all the guys that we had to get back. But I did line that one up. But the funny thing about the lake we're not going to name is Carter Andrews, who
totally right about this. I know where this is going. He told me about it and I totally ignore him. Like,
and I'm talking about the years ago when he
10 years ago.
Years ago, and he's like, buddy, let me tell you, I've got the greatest. And he did not know then the potential. He was just like, we could go catch 105 pounders. It's amazing. He's telling me this. He's like, you got to get up here. It's a blah, blah, blah drive from where my house is out west, that kind of deal. Whatever.
It's so weird.
And I never went. And then all of a sudden, the guy that really kind of, Cody Meyer, is pretty dialed on it as well. Keeps it pretty easy. But I just hate, like you said, for these lakes to, it sucks to see it because I'm a guy, Tennessee River rat, grew up Pickwick, Gunnersville. You just see what pressure does.
you're in the epicenter.
Jesus. I mean, we want to talk about pressure. Like, you want to say your lake's pressured, bud, come on down to
McFarland. I agree.
In Florence, I can show you pressure any day you'd like to, 365. Let's go.
I call your area St. Clair South.
Yes. That's, and it used to not be that way, but what caused that? That's actually a question I have for you. What changes in your veteran opinion are we seeing? But that is something fishing. What has caused this? What has caused this explosion? Is it social media, TV, whatever?
I would, from a primitive standpoint where we all learned, back when you and I were kids, you learned it from television, from watching Bill Dancing, Parker, the Bassmasters back,
of course,
30 years ago. That's where you learned destinational targets. And then obviously you would surround that with journalism, magazines and stuff like that. But none of that, to me, none of it was as in-depth and constant as social media. I think social media is good. I hate social media.
I get it. Same.
It, social media, it's instant. And the other thing about it, you can also see, hey, that bite's very consistent because they're posting every 5 minutes. We have made a rule on Zona shows to rarely, like a lake that I think can sustain pressure, I'll say what it is.
Yeah, of course.
Dude,
we're
if I'm on
Lake Erie, the pressure, or already getting the pressure, I guess, right?
What's ironic is when I don't name or accidentally misname our destination to throw pirates off, is I'll get hammered and I will reply to those people, hey, you are the reason I don't.
Amen. Amen. So, the bullseye's on you, bud. That's why I'm doing this.
Let me give one last one. It's a really good one. So back in the day, this is before a flogger was a flogger. I did two shows. I did a show with Byron Velvet. I did a show with Aaron Martins on a body of water that back then was not very well known. It's called Burton Mullet up in Indian Giants. Well, you may find this hard to believe, Luke, that there was a day there was no bass boats out there. Like I would see a salmon troller out there, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, he needs to get away. He's 300 yards from us, right? So time's gone on since that show aired. But right after the Aaron show aired, I was at a seminar that spring. And this guy come, and there's a certain boat ramp in a canal, and it's very sneaky. It's a public ramp, but it's very sneaky. But it puts you near the, as the kids say, it put you near the juice, right? And I had launched there for the last, call it 25 years of my life. So this is Scout's honor. So I'm at this seminar, and it was in Northern Ohio at a Bass Pro Shops. Show airs. Guy raises his hand, and he said, hey, are you okay if after this I stick around? I'd like to question you about fishing in Northern Michigan. And I know I said, yeah, okay. Ha ha ha. So we get done and he walks up, Luke, and he goes, hey, I live on a walleye lake, up north in Michigan, but I really want to get into smallmouth fishing. I saw that show that you shot with Aaron Martins. And he said, I'm not, you know, that up on smallmouth fishing. And I said, okay. I said, yeah. And I said, there's some good lakes up there. I said, can I ask where you live? Now you've been to the, you know, up near the bridge, there's a lake every 5 feet.
Oh yeah.
He looks at me, and that show that I shot was with Aaron on Burton Mullet. And he looks at me, he goes, well, I live on Burt Lake. And I went, what do you say? He goes, well, I live on Burt Lake. I said, where do you live? Well, I live on the east side. I said, really? I said, I'm gonna pull up my MapQuest. And I said, show me where you live. Well, I live in the back of a canal. I said, wow, that's amazing. I said, I shot that show on Burton Mullet Lake. I launched in that canal. And he looks at me, he goes, I knew you'd do this. What a joke. And walked away.
No!
I'm not kidding. If the dude went out of the canal 200 yards.
He's in the juice.
Like, he walked away, threw his hands up and walked away.
No longer a Mark Zona fan.
No.
Never watches Bass Live. He's over.
He said, I shot that show right there. And he's like, thanks. I knew you'd do this.
I know how you pros are.
I couldn't believe it. Anyway, great story.
Throwing me off. Before we move on for this, just real quick, I want to ask your honest opinion, because this blows my mind, really. How many events we're having on the St. Lawrence now? And I know it's a place near and dear to your heart and soul, obviously. Will we see, and I feel like we already are a little bit, even though God knows the Elite Series last year, freaking phenomenal weights. It was crazy. The sewer rat, as you call him, blowing it out. I mean, it was awesome. One of the best events ever. They had great weather. Are we, or will we see an impact there from the pressure? Because I
already,
know it's
already have, Luke, okay. Already have. Yeah, absolutely. I probably fished there, and you and I've talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
I probably fished there more so than any Great Lakes Connected Fishery. I've taped there more than any smallmouth destination that I've gone to, whether it's been smallmouth or largemouth. But here's what's really that I've seen. I'm not guessing this is I fished there this summer with Corey, and Corey knows, you know, the magic rocks and stuff like that. But the one thing that I know is I grew up fishing a lot of the U.S. water, a fair share of the Canadian water, mostly the lake. That's
right.
Look, if you're going to the Holy Grail, fish the Holy Grail if the Holy Grail lets you out there. I have never. It's interesting. I'll name drop one more time. Taku stayed at my house this summer for a while, and we talked about it. And I asked him, I said, are they a lot harder to catch right now? And he's like, so smart in 1 year. So smart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm not talking deep ones. I'm talking shallow, mid-range, deep ones. And here's the one thing that I saw consistently on the U.S. side, especially. If you got one of those rocks in 5 foot of water, in 25 foot of water, in 55 foot of water, and you either visually see them, Luke, or you look at them on your front facing sonar and you catch one, their buddies ain't sticking around. Where 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, you pick them all off. You pick them all off. If this is no joke. And I'm talking the lake. I'm not talking in the river. But look, the river's is getting just as tough. Obviously, it's a lot of look better on paper stringers that go. I'm not talking the spawn. I'm not talking that because that's a different scenario. But when it is fishing time, if you catch two off of a rock, you did something. Because those fish are so conditioned and I used to see this all the time on Champlain, when you kidnap a buddy, the rest of the gang is out of there. And that's what now look, you could make historic runs right now out on Lake Ontario and still find that unintelligent school that exists. You're just going to beat yourself up getting there. The further you run, the dumber they are. But there's something about that river mouth. There's always been something about that river mouth, whether it's 3 miles into the river or 3 miles out of it. That's where that massive caliber lives, but they're just a heck of a lot smarter now.
That's interesting. And that's what you hear that, you know, like you said, on paper, it looks great. Looks fantastic. We see that at Pickwick at times. We see that at Gunnersville. Oh my God, 15 pounds down to 50th place. Gunnersville's back. Not so much. Yeah. I mean, the healthy fishery, but they're educated, man. They're
absolutely
so educated. You can see them down there at May, June on the ledge, the typical Tennessee River thing. They ain't buying
100 miles of right where you're setting to me are here's an obvious, the obvious amount of pressure that your guys' bass get. But it's also, you also deal with, you guys have a very, very wicked caliber of fishermen around there. So you're combining, look, there's a lot of places you can go to that get a lot of pressure, but you guys just kind of out fishing.
Yeah.
You're the epicenter of very, very good fishermen.
Like it's here, Texas, right? Absolutely. Florida, you get that. Like there's a lot of fantastic tournament anglers in those core areas. And you're right, other places you do get boat pressure. They hear transducers, they hear trolling motors go by.
Right.
Does impact them. But you guys down here just fish, it seems like, for the most
part. You know what's going back to the smallmouth thing, and I'm kind of taking a right-hand turn, but not really, is man, you and I did this together, right? When we were fishing on the lake I live on back in the day. Heck, you mark one on your 2D, a little piece of lasagna. Hey, drop down. Whoa, look at me. That doesn't happen as much anymore as it used to.
No, I can remember showing my dad a drop shot, like in the early 2000s, you know, read a Bassmaster magazine article with like Aaron or Coda talking about, right? Give me some Robo Worm special. And being on Pickwick, and dude, I mean, we'd catch 100 cranking then, you know, catching two at a time and crap. But still, when it, you kind of bust up the school, had an old Hummingbird, the first ever color graph I ever had, I forget the number, little bitty guy. And my dad and I'll never forget being on Pickwick. And me, I caught a 6-pounder on a drop shot, see him down there, little mark. And my buddies were laughing, like, when, like, what'd you catch that big one on? I'm like, this. And they're like, what? Well, now you go ledge fishing and there's 6 boats sitting at, on the goods on Pickwick and everybody's got a spinning rod in their hand.
Everybody.
But they're casting a drop shot, you know, and but what I'm getting at is I don't see those fish to drop on as much anymore. And I don't know if they're sucked down to the bottom more, but it's the drop shot even gets ignored though, I guess. And it's incredible to me that it doesn't matter, line size, whatever, but you can have a school of 50 over there. I can see set up like they should be. You can feel them sometimes with your damn line. They won't eat it.
I agree.
Not going to happen. So it's incredible to see the changes. And I blame you, frankly, for your live coverage and your damn TV shows and whatnot. I don't. You know, you have always been, you're sneaky. You're the sneaky Z. You are sneaky at times. You will name, but you are, you and I have, I am very proud of our relationship. I like the conversation. I've learned so much from you. But you're like, I'll kill you if you say anything about this. But you are sneaking. You have given me the juice several times. What I know about several lakes is just because Uncle Z's been like, hey, you're going here, try this. And I'm like,
I don't do that with everybody.
I know that. Yeah, do not get in his DMs on Instagram. Don't slide in his DMs asking for that, you pieces of garbage out there. Don't do it. He's not going to give it to you. But that being said, you're sneaky, so I can't blame you. But I do feel like with the YouTube movement, the social media thing, man, we've given away our soul at times for some clicks. That's Brad Knight's favorite line. He goes, man, we've given away so much for so little, ultimately.
To a degree. I agree with that. But, you know, the other side, and I get a lot of, I get a lot of local or regional anglers that will, you know, laughingly tune me up like, hey, you don't need to be doing that technique on the show for a year or two. And I get that. I understand. Look, man, I used to fish 5 tournaments a week for 20 years of my, and I get that. But first off is I hope people, whether they like me or they hate me, is, and I've always said this, whether it's Bassmasters or Zona Show or any of the content that we put out, I hope somebody learns something from something. Okay. But it took me a long time to also learn, and this goes back to what we were talking about, that there are people I hang out with that are friends of my children that will just watch things to go assassinate that spot if they can. Okay. That's where I become more so sneakier than you. Can I give one more really dorky story? And it's a Lake Ontario story. This is back before mapping. This is when I fished tournaments, I found a series of boulders in like 8 to 10, and dude, they were magic. I used them in tournaments. So I exploited those boulders in tournaments. When Zona Show started, I exploited them with Jeff Creed, with Aaron Martins, alone, with Brent Ayler. Anyway, even if you have mapping, or they're very hard to find. They're not near the shoreline. And I had never seen a human being on, ever. And I took Tommy Sanders and Overstreet there one day. So it was like, it might have been during the pandemic. I was pulling into it, and look, I'm not saying it was one of those, wow, I found something. It was so long ago, and it was magic. So it had to have been during the pandemic. I pulled into it, and I'm coming up to it, and dude, there is a boat, and I'm watching. I'm like, wow, I've never ever seen a boat on that. ever. And I got near enough to where I didn't look. If he found it, he found it. It's got a little bit of a distinct thing on one certain background that obviously aired. So I scotched down about a half mile away from him, and I'm just watching. I was really impressed. The dude found it. The guy pulls his trolling motor and he idles over, and this is exactly what he said. I found it, didn't I? I said, you did? You found it. And he goes, I scoured that show for years. I said, you found it. And like that, and dude, that it's just made me be way more cautious of what is in the background when we're taping now. Oh. Just because, you know, and it's, look, it's just, it's part of the game. It's a part of the game that I think I've become a heck of a lot more savvy at.
Yeah.
And have to, just because, man, I need a few more years out of this, Luke.
Okay, that's your livelihood, bud. Well, I'm cognizant of it. Just, I've rarely film anything at home, and God knows there are guys that know Pickwick, Wilson, Wheeler, Gunnersville way better than me now, just from traveling years on the road, whatever. But still, I'm really, like, I've got stuff that I could make the most amazing video out of ever, every summer. Yes. Would never do it because I'm like, it's not worth it, right? But I'm even like in pictures, and it's so funny. You do it, the decoy pick. I'll box a big one, take it somewhere else, and take a picture. And know where that's at, and you're like, you really don't, but you don't at all. I love those comments, but just kind of the world we're in. But I totally get it, and I think you're definitely this way. I respect the resource enough.
Yes. Big time.
Because big when time. I find that magical just that happens very rarely anymore, right? I had one on Pickwick last year that I could have made. I was texting you during this.
You told me that.
It was incredible. A friend of mine, Ryan Ingham, Turnpike Troubadours, name dropper, Luke Duncan here. But we obliterated them.
Yes.
Last year. One of the most amazing 3 days of fishing I've ever had. And I'm like, there's no sense in posting it. I would never, ever, ever.
Let's just
ever,
move on.
Yeah, let's just move on. Whether it was the bait, whether it was the location, but you could tell. Like, it was easy to tell where we were at in pictures or whatever. I actually texted you. I was one of those guys, and I've laughed about this year, because I got yelled at by, I'll say, a guy named Fat Todd. I call him Fat Todd. Tad Castelline, about a certain lure that he should be all about promoting, and he does a lot, but you got doing live, and I said, shh, Uncle Z, shh, quit pointing that out so much. And you're like, hey, bud, 6 of the top 10 are using it. I know you're just tuning in, but you're screwed.
It was hard. It was really, really hard to get away from that one.
But I was like 2 weeks removed from just like, oh my God, I don't want anybody to know about this. And now all my local tackle stores are just empty pegs. I'm like, God, here we go. But I had my moments with it there for a little bit, and it's still a magical little critter at times. So switching gears, and I can talk about this stuff all day because
just so you know, what we just talked about also bleeds, and it bleeds right directly into the hunting world. I did show a few that we could. I don't do that much anymore.
Yeah. Well, listen,
it's in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, I've got people just where in my home county, home turf, I've hunted the same area for 30 years. So when I post, like, I can't post a trail cam picture, right? Like, where do we go? Because, I mean, everybody's going to know. And I've got guys that hunt around me that I talk to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we share things, but it's like, some things we don't share, you know, like it's just how it goes.
I get it.
But I think this segues into Bassmaster Live. And I think a lot of this is the same in that live coverage, and I know from my 2 years of doing it, it you learn a lot. You see, see a lot of things that maybe you would not ordinarily see, and we get to see these guys making decisions. We get to see the actual techniques. You know, it's not the magazine days. Well, of course, I caught them on a 3/8 black and blue jig when they could have been doing something.
Right.
But that's also changing the fisheries as well, right? It's the learning curve is so And I want to say, is there anything, I asked JT Kenny this, of course he has not as long in this as you, obviously. He did it many years as a tournament angler, but I asked him this last week, and I found it fascinating, the answer he gave. And I've got my own answer from doing it for 2 years in MPFL. What is one thing that you have either learned or taken away from live that maybe you didn't know, even though you are, and I don't want to talk about like a nugget that you're still holding on to in your pocket, because I know those exist, right? Maybe you see them on the monitor, they're not actually on live. You're like, ooh, okay. Because I see those too. Like Dudley and I used to look at each other and go on certain things every now and then. What's one thing though that you would share that is like you went, whether it's a work ethic, whether it's a, I don't know, a technique, whatever that is, that just kind of you went, holy crap, in studio when you saw it.
It's hard to, but you'll know what I'm saying by this. And I think a lot of the good anglers, a lot of, you know, look, everybody that follows you and Low Budget Live, if you're hardcore, now this is back in the old school 1 hour Bassmaster days or 1 hour FLW days. You could watch a show and go, wow, he's a darn good fisherman or something like that and blah, blah, blah. But you can really look at an angler, especially when you watch the span of not only one day, but you watch a span of 4 days of competition. And then you say that angler shows up. A killer is a killer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A killer is a killer. You look, this weekend when you turn on Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, a killer is a killer. And then there's really good quarterbacks. And then there's really good fishermen. But the one thing that I've learned, and it's strange because I'll throw it back to the days that I fished a ton of tournaments and had great success. I did not have that. I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see it coming. And you're going to take it. You're going to take it. And I'm going to enjoy doing it. And doggone it, I'm going to smile at you the final morning. But I am here to ruin all your dreams.
I'm fixing to snatch it from you.
Fixing to do. And there's guys like that. There's guys like, and I always throw it to this. You know, obviously Van Damme always had that trait. But when you look at people like Hackney and you look at people like Jason Christie, they're there to cause destruction to you. One reason. And that, and you know that, but it is solidified. It is solidified. Johnstons have that. The Johnstons, granted, but they have that relentless, I am here to make you cry. Clark Wendland has that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's just.
For sure.
And when you
got that, man. Lee's got that.
No doubt. Absolutely. Livesey totally has.
One of the newer names, I guess, in the last few years that we're seeing definitely has that.
Yes. And you see it. You see it in their, not only their mannerisms, but you see it in their decision making, that they don't give a crap if they take it into the ditch. But the possible outcome is a heck of a lot better, you know, than instead of. A play it a little bit closer to the vest, a little bit safer. Look, and here's the one thing and this is just from a technique standpoint, learning cadences, learning, you know, just hand eye. You watch this. I know JT does. I know Newell does. Is just watching a cadence of a reel handle. Whether it's you're fishing a jig, whether you're fishing a frog, a glide bait, whatever it is, those are the things. Listen, those are the things, if you're an angler, you had better be watching. Look, the first thing every one of us looks at when a bass comes in a boat is what the hell is in its mouth. Yep. Okay. Now we've got the main piece of the puzzle and we could start putting the other pieces into it. That's the main thing we look at. And throughout the years, we all would protect anglers and stay very, very generic, because I had, you know, I have the dude on social media. It's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what that is. I know what it is. I can't say it because he has another sponsor. If he wants to say it, fine, great.
You're not going to blow up his spot, yeah.
It's a suspending jerk bait. I'm not going to say it's X brand. I'm not going to say that. That's the other thing that Live has done. The Live has truly made anglers, at least I'd say for 95, because there's a lot of backs to cameras at times I've noticed. On
that. Yeah. A lot of worms and different packs.
I've noticed that on the NPF. So that obviously has gone on. For the most part now, you cannot watch live coverage, whoever does it, you cannot watch it and not learn something yourself.
Yeah.
Because look, man, we all got our favorite fishermen and haha and fireworks and stuff like that, trophies. But still to this day, I selfishly watch all of it just because I want to steal stuff technique-wise. That's why I'm into it.
Yeah, because when they're in those moments with money on the line, they can't hide. I'm just going to put this away.
They're using what they're supposed to be using.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think it's interesting what you say about cadence. That's something that I have. That's my biggest takeaway in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the same crap. Everybody's got access to the same tackle stores online that we all do. Everybody's got electronics. But the difference, in my opinion, more times than not, is cadence. It is cadence a lot of times. Yeah. And I've seen some we had one fisherman in particular that will remain nameless. Because I don't want to get anybody to go back, because it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I saw it three events in a row because he kicked ass and took names. But Dudley and I, and Dudley was the first to look at me and go, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, that's interesting.
Don't talk about that. And for a guy like Dudley, all-time leading money winner, FLW Tour, you know, won more money with a rod and reel than just about anybody we know. When I watched his eyes, because I was like watching the monitor going, interesting. And then you watch Dudley go,
right.
That's what I want. That's special. That's
the one thing that Live's given. You learn the connection of cadence with the lure and exactly what it's being thrown at. Dude, you got the whole buffet in front of you. Now there's a different dynamic that's out there at the same time, and I respect the heck out of it, and it was a tournament that I covered last year when Drew Cook won on Santee. Is the first day of the tournament, I called him that night and I said, hey dude, you sight fishing? Yeah. I said, obviously we're going to see your sight fishing. Do you want to, he goes, here is the rod. Here is the line. Here is the bait. Here's what I'm looking for. And he goes, if somebody can do it better, have at it. Dude, that was phenomenal. You know, and that's to me, that's superior confidence. You know, you got when Christy won on was Chick. It was this last year.
Yeah,
I think Chick. It was this last year. He had that same. Here's what I'm doing. He said, "Don't get into exacts. Here's basically where I'm doing." He goes, "I feel good." You know, to where I don't want to sound the wrong way. There was some younger anglers that they're like, well, I'd rather not. I said, hey, do you know, this was after the tournament. And I said, and I talked to one of them. I said, hey, you don't have to give me anything to this young angler. I said, you don't have to give me a damn thing. I don't care. I don't want to waste your time. Please don't waste my time. Yes. Let me move on to the next angler. And he said, well, I apologize. Well, and I said, dude, you're throwing a swim bait on points. Okay.
We figured it out pretty quick, bud.
Right. Bait that long going at a point. Anyway, I said, you know who gave me all the information that we passed on during the final day? And you know, you're very guarded and protective, rightfully so, of the anglers days one, two.
Yeah, of course.
But you get into the later part of the tournament, that's when you give the juice to the viewer. That's what the viewer's waiting for. I said, I just want to tell you something. I said, this is the definition of being a pro. Do you know who gave me everything down to the stock that he was throwing at? And he goes, who? I said, the guy that won.
I love that.
Just
Fat Cat and I have experienced that.
You know what I mean.
Multiple times. And I'm like, okay. And it is, it does seem like the ones that are dialed.
Yeah.
Infinitely dialed. Like, you know, going into that final day. Yeah. It's, this is like a hoist a trophy just right. from talking to them. You know it. You know it better than I do for sure. And the guys that are like, well, I'd rather not say, you know, I might talk to you about it tomorrow or whatever. Yeah. Okay, man. Like you said,
sounds good. Gotta go.
You know, that kind of deal. And the ones that are just out of like, yeah, because like Drew Cook, I'm going to do it better than the rest of them. Doesn't
well,
matter.
I had a company call me, talk to me, and say, why did you not talk about this angler's bait? Ooh. I said, call him.
Here's the contact.
Call him. That's exactly what happened.
I love that. All right, I know you're on a time crunch.
No, today, I'm good.
Busy. Okay. Well, I've got a couple more things, but that being said, is there a bait? You don't have to say it. But is there a bait in the last couple of years that's kind of blown your mind on live? I mean, I know everybody's seen it, but is there one thing that maybe you've added to your arsenal from live that you're like, oh crap, I don't really.
And this goes back to
your dial. Z's dialed. I'll say that. Like you get the nuggets. I feel like you're always on the front edge. I've learned so much, like I said, from you personally over the years about techniques and different things. But is there anything that you really added to your personal arsenal from live?
I don't do it on TV a lot, but it's more of I was intrigued by it. Besides largemouth, but I was intrigued by it for a smallmouth aspect. A swim bait is a really, 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 really good largemouth bait. It is a really, really good smallmouth bait. And it seems, and I don't do it on camera, you know, it's not my jam. It's not what we're doing. But I throw a lot of really large, oversized swim baits for smallmouth. Now, you don't catch a lot. You don't catch a lot.
A lot of this.
Some, yeah. Look, I throw them, you know, besides obviously, you know, I throw all striking stuff on the show, but I'm mesmerized by big swim baits, mm-hmm. whether they're soft plastic, you know, one Zaldane has thrown, or it's glide baits and stuff like that. I've tried to learn that probably more than anything. Above and beyond that, I've really worked on, obviously, a bladed jig, whether it's a jackhammer, a thunder cricket, whatever it is, it's obviously been one of the most, look, every one of us, your viewers has a gazillion of them, there is a gig with a bladed jig that has not come out yet, that has not been exploited. But a bladed jig in 15 to 30 feet of water is one of the most brutal big fish baits techniques that there are out there. You fish it exponentially different than the usual way that it's fished, but it is obviously something that they have not seen in that outer realm. And that's something that I think you'll probably see same baits like that, the usual way they have been fished. I think you're just going to see them utilized differently.
Just little tweaks to the technique.
So yeah.
And in different areas, different depths. And
yes. Yes.
Think about a jerk bait. I mean, we're throwing it out there in the,
yes.
in the like you said, in the outer realm.
Well, here's what's funny. There have obviously been really, really, really big bass caught on a swim jig out deep on YouTube. The last dude, you know, this, your buddy Ryan that I've taken around here fishing. A deep swim jig has been around for a long time.
That's a Zona special. The first time I got a text from someone going, hey, man, have you seen that this goes down at Ivy? And I was like, oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
That deep? I'll show you a text from about 6 years ago where I got.
Zona boys did good in derbs back in the day with that. But what's interesting is, here again, you know, not your usual throwing at water willow swim jig fishing. It's way more akin to swim baiting style than that swim jigging is way more akin to a swim bait than it is an actual swim jig. But it's like, I guess what we're talking about is, you know, what it little little tweaks or big tweaks to the staple lures maybe that have been around a long, 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 long time. Yeah.
You, and I've seen that. I got to cover Coach Walters this year with the MPFL.
Yes.
I got to spend a lot of court because he just cold straight just train wrecked him. So I spent a lot of time in the boat with Coach Walters, and some of his, that's a sneaky one. That's a sneaky little devil. I think
he's a twitchy little fella too. Isn't
he gets some shorty shorts on and you never know what's about to happen.
Here's what I always call, and I've had a few of these anglers that through the years, Edwin was one. And I here's what they are. They're elusive.
Slippery.
even when you're eye to eye, they're elusive. You find yourself, and Luke, you do this, I notice, and I do this. You find yourself answering your own questions while talking to them.
Yes. Trying to pull something out of them, hoping they mess up. I do that anyways. Regardless who I'm talking to.
Yeah, elusive. Excited. Yes, I go with that.
Elusive. We have said you're getting some elusive ones from us. Bryant Smith, an MPFL angler coming your way to the Elite Series. He can be a little elusive. He's pretty good with the detail. When he gets on camera, he's fantastic for us, man. You guys are getting a gift in him. Of course, John's pretty damn elusive himself. And David Gaston will just talk your head off. The three MPFLers you're getting. That being said, looking at the rookie list, because we're fixing to start, man. And I know I won't get a chance to, as busy as you are, to really pick your brain there in February on the show, but have you looked at that list? I know,
yeah, absolutely.
Almonds, we know, you know, I know you do your research. Who are you? And we'll throw some people under the bus with this, or you may get in trouble. Who are you most looking forward to out of that group? Who do you think will have the most success going into 2023 out of that new group of rookies you got coming your way?
Well, I think the obvious suck up is he's soft. I watched all your guys' live stuff, because I'll text you and we'll either compliment anglers or crack on anglers. Is that you can tell old boy's been around for a day or two, so that his experience, where I was impressed, he seemed to do well really wherever you guys went. That's impressive. Cooper Gallant from Canada is a dude. He's a worker. He's got a weird little bit of a Brandon Polinick thing where he kind of just jumps in his truck and jams, where you could tell he lives it. But the other one, and this came from a few anglers, most of all this came from Taku. And Taku is a special human being. He is Taku makes you feel better about life. He really does.
Sure.
Feel better about you.
I text you during the Ontario show, when he won, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing, the smallmouth Disneyland clip that's become so famous. Like, this is the greatest moment in bass fishing. Like, it was beautiful. Like, and I just couldn't stop smiling. Yeah. Boy, I've watched that clip however many times. He's fantastic human.
I feel bad because, and you know, I do hang around a rough, I hang around some rough dudes. And Taku was around them. And I think Taku left here with a whole new vocabulary. Hey, there was one time he started saying things that my fishing partner was saying, and I said, Taku, no, and he goes, I'm sorry.
trying to jump in front. No,
it's no.
I'm good.
I have videos.
So I have to interrupt you for this story, because I feel like it's relevant and I may never get to tell it on the show ever again. There was a co-angler, a Japanese co-angler, that used to run with Dudley in the FLW Tour days. And his name was Watanabe. He went by Nabi. I don't know if you ever encountered him in your life, but he worked at a Japanese ski resort in the fall, save his money, would come over here and live in a van. and he had an old Ranger, and he would go pre-fit. He would beat your ass in practice. Like, you did right. not want him to see you catching one in practice. Right. In an area like he just fished all 3 days of practice. When co-anglers could practice, he'd wear them out, whatever. But his goal, and he would look at you, I beat you today. Like, he wanted to beat your
yes.
ass.
Yes.
I drew him at Lake Travis and down in Austin the second year I fished. And Dudley brought him over, and he spoke decent English, but broken. And he puts him with my redneck self. And so we go out day one, and dude, I'm talking about catching him. Like, it was dumb. You know how Travis, like, numbers yep. are crazy to Travis, and I was catching him really good. And was in way up there the first day, top 30, whatever, but decent day, but catching them deep. And I kept talking about these rock piles. And he keeps saying, who do you mean by rock pile? Wait, rock? And then finally he goes, oh, it's a boulder. But so Dudley had already told me he watches nothing but action films in his van, right? So he taught himself English by watching movies. So he cussed like a sailor, which I loved, of course. And so he asked me about, like, slang, you know, gets lost in translation for sure. And I'd say, come on, bite my cricket. You know, whatever. We tend to say that.
Yep.
Sometimes he goes, what do you mean when you say bite my cricket? And then he asked about Greg Hackney. He said, Greg Hackney says that. And I was like, yeah, well, we're talking about our bait. So many of us grew up fishing with a bobber and a cricket. That's kind of what we, you know. And he's like, looking at me kind of confused. Okay. Well, then I had said, son of a bitch, about five times. And he goes, what do you mean when you say son of a bitch? And so try to explain it to him. I'm like, well, sometimes I see my buddy, because, like, Burge, it came up, oh, Jeff, you son of a bitch, like, joking, like, you know, it's redneck. Right. Sometimes you're like, you son of a bitch, you know, and I'm trying to explain. Well, sometimes it's a term of endearment.
Not sure.
Sometimes it's an insult. So that day, and he's just looking at me like a puppy when I'm trying to explain this. He's on the back deck, I'm on the front. Well, at the end of the day, I run into this place I've been trying to get on. There have been people on it all day. It's this point that I had a couple good bites in practice. So I pull up, and they were catching these fish in like 30, 40 feet of water. So I pull up my fire football jig out there, and dude, one gets in. It's like a 5-pounder. And he comes up and jumps. And I'm like, dude, net. He's right there. He misses it with the net. I'm like, Nobby, I'm bringing him back. Like, he's coming back. Get him. So he gets him the second time. I said, Nobby, you son of a bitch. Just like that. And he goes, I get it now.
Well,
that's language. That was, I had to tell that. It's one of the most, I saw him at a Bassmaster Open last year. He fished as a co-angler, and I ran into him at Big Toho Marina on the dock. And he's like, I hadn't seen him in years, but it's so funny. I appreciate the fact that you ruined Taku. Sweet.
I'm fairly sure I sent you one of the videos.
Yes,
that it made
you
your
did.
Day.
You did.
And that was one of the, that was very mild comparatively.
You did. And you said, do not share in all caps.
Right. But, and that, there's something, you know, it's strange, which you just, there's something that, I don't think Taku and I could be more different people ever, but it's interesting because he obviously lives with a spinning rod, but I'll tell you what was amazing, and you do see this with a lot of Japanese anglers, is so we would, whether we were fishing or we were in the barn, he is nonstop tinkering with my, looking at whether he's in my storage compartment, whether he's in my barn. You could see that there is a desire, obviously, to learn non-stop, just a relentless, you know, and I think all of us, to an extent, have that, you know, wire in fishing. But when you see, it's really cool when you do see that in somebody, obviously, that is from so far away,
right? Yeah.
It's very cool. And I don't know, I know this sounds bizarre. There's an unbelievable innocence being around, you know, and granted, I tried to destroy every fabric of that.
Just the story I just told, I ruined it.
Exactly. And that just happened on netting a fish. You know what I mean? That's awesome. I guess in some way, shape or form, that's what it's all about.
You know? Well, it is, but what I derailed us on right there was Taku was telling you about one of our rookies coming into the
Elite. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's me. I had a note. I got a little note here to go back because I'm very interested in your thoughts and if Taku gave a ringing endorsement.
Yes. And his last name is, I can't pronounce his first name yet. Fujita.
Okay.
But it's weird because Taku went into in depth, why, what his strength is, and he'll fit right in evidently with the Patrick Walters and front facing guys are like really good, like crazy good, in fact. So, and he's very young. And that's okay. The one thing Taku said, that he's very young, but ahead of where he probably should be right now. So.
Is he one of those guys like Taku who just kind of blazed through the opens?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I remember seeing that name much in the last couple of years until he qualified.
Yes. So I would say that that's kind of, you know, those were the three that I, of all of them. And I followed a lot of, you know, the guys that are coming from your league. I followed a lot of them, but those three right there are probably the ones that I'm, you know, watching the most. The coming off of last year, it's really bizarre. I thought Cody Huff would blow that away. And I said that at the beginning of the year. I mean, Cody Huff is the package. But what Jay did, dude, I knew Jay from fishing against my children, you know, and his dad's a world, not a world class. I mean, he's a world champion walleye angler. But the thing that is interesting is you see like a Jay Shakurit, you see a Cody Huff and young anglers. And this goes all the way back to the Derek Remitz days, is the ones that are able to really compose themselves and be flatliners. I've used that word for 20 years. The flatliners, young ones, are, for some reason, are able to handle the pressure of the year. It's amazing to watch, you know, that it's almost like that calmness is. And here's what's weird is, like, I'm going to give you a quick Jay Shakurit story. You know, obviously he caught 100 pounds and what he did on Lake Ontario is – Striking asked me to shoot a show. I don't know if you know Jay very well. Okay.
I've had him on the show and I've met his dad a time or two through Ranger Boats back in the day, but I don't know him well.
This is so bizarre. And you've done a lot of television. You've done 197.
Yeah.
Is it 197?
I think this will be one. This is 197, I believe.
How about that? I'm not scared, dude. I'll Ronnie Moore you. So, exactly. Hey, I covered Redfish Cup too. Striking asked if I do a protein journal with Jay, and I said yeah. So we do a protein journal, and we did it on Lake Huron, just north of Saginaw Bay. Catch him, and then they do kind of a Zona style where you do a sit down interview. Throughout the day, and I could tell the producer was there, so they got two camera guys and a producer, and we get off the water, and the producer kind of pulled me aside, and he was like, dude, I'm a little bit worried. And I said, what are you worried about? And he goes, man, it was you know, you talked a lot. And I said, well, I have a problem with that, you know, it's hosting a show, you have to do that. Luke, you know.
Yeah, I do.
He goes, well, you know, Jay didn't talk a lot in the boat. I said, yeah, I know. I said, let's see how his interview goes. Okay. And Luke, straight up, if Jay's watching this, he'll admit to it. In the boat, we caught five that weighed probably 24 pounds, high five, you know, here and there. And I think he gave a couple. Cool. I'm gonna say there might have been 11 words thrown in the boat, right? God is my witness. Dude sits down and gives a top 10 interview I've heard in the last decade.
Wow.
Like all of us did this. Like we're all looking at each other and I'm like, where in the hell was that at the last 9 hours?
He's focused, man.
I'll tell you, this is no BS. I called Mike McInnes, and I said, "Hey, I show with Jay Shakurney on Hanukkah." I said, "Well, he was a little bit, you know, he's a little bit reserved in the boat." And he goes, "Yeah, you know, Bassmaster Live, he's definitely in game and stuff like that." I said, "Mike, the kid gave one of the best interviews I've ever heard in my entire life." And he's like, "Really?" Like, it was,
that's cool.
Here's what I can tell you. When he puts together the fishing and the teaching and communicate and humor, he's a smart ass. Like, he's going to be hosting a TV show. He'll be hosting LBL here.
Well, that's not hard to do. Let's be honest. I've done almost 200 of these. Caveman can do it. Let's just be honest. I've just got the garage, right? Like, I think it's more about the fact that I've got a garage to do it in.
That story had nothing to do with anything, just that it was a cool story.
But I do think that's maybe if there are young anglers listening, I think it does, because I don't think people put enough into that part of it. Now, I'm all BS, right? Like, I am. I'm all BS all the time. Never been afraid to talk, whether it's in front of a class, in front of an auditorium full of people, arena full of people, playing music. I don't care.
If you have to do 7 hours of live, you better have some BS in there.
It's one thing you told me, just get ready. It's a lot. It's a lot of talking.
Yes.
And
it
is. And the fact that Fat Cat and I have not been fired is actually phenomenal. Shout out to them for putting up. I do get some texts every now and then. It's like, hey, just maybe just
pull it in.
Rest of those jokes. Okay. We do have.
I'll tell you, when our country was on edge during the pandemic, and we were having Bassmaster Lives that were all, you know, Fox would take any live sport at that time. Yeah. I would find myself checking my thoughts, speaking slower throughout Bassmaster Live to not rub anybody the wrong way.
Yeah, that's a whole different level of internet comment right there, bud.
Right. And that would, straight up, Luke, that was, and you know, there was a lot of fractures in the, not that there's not now, but there was a lot of fractures, and people were just, people were looking for reasons to get mad at anything to this day, but more so then. That was probably the scary, besides the first time doing Bassmaster Live, that was probably the scariest time, because you could unknowingly say something that was going to offend somebody. And that's not what, look, I have no problem offending somebody, but to do it unknowingly and stuff like that, that's when that was like the weirdest, scariest time, I think, that at least for myself, that I've done live.
I can imagine. That
and you also knew there was actually more human beings watching, because there was nothing else.
Like, hey, what's this fishing thing? What's this fishing thing?
What's going on here?
Right? What are these men doing?
It wasn't the usual Bassmaster Live where I could be like, Tommy, you've got to be killed by Jason, Michael Myers, or Freddy Krueger. one of the three. Like, I didn't feel like that would float at that time.
I sent the production crew when we were at Saginaw Bay. That city up there is, as you well know, home of birthplace of Madonna. That was a little nugget that brought us. And we photoshopped Fat Cat's head onto Madonna with the pointed bra during a slow time. And it ended up on, and my bosses were like, what are we doing? And I'm like, I just sent that to the control room, and you know, we're having a good time. In fact,
it's
coming. So it's
good. That's when it all is going correctly.
Yes,
is when
that's to do that. Yeah. Because you know, we had major issues at times the first year for sure. And I would lean on you, and you're like, hey, just know it's live and it can go wrong at any moment. And you don't get to have fun in those moments. You don't. I felt like my head was in a vice. If we were having audio issues, or because, you know, we had some situations where I couldn't hear the anglers talking.
I know.
In the first event. And dude, on Facebook, it's like, these pieces of garbage are talking. We didn't even know they were talking. And I just get dead air. So I'm like, well, I got to say something. Oh. You know, that's what they're paying. Microphone, that's what they're paying me for. And it was just bad. And the producer, the first day, goes, "You guys are done." Dudley and I, his first day of coverage.
I remember.
And I'm like, "Buddy, what have I got myself into here?" And he's like, "You gotta just let the anglers fish for an hour. Like, this is until we get these bugs worked out." And it's just, it's incredible, man. Fact that you haven't been in trouble more is actually impressive too. Because fat cat, God almighty, we go down some rabbit holes, but, and he is very much like, Tommy's obviously the pro's pro, right? Tommy is the broadcast guy. He doesn't hang you out to dry. He goes with your crap way more than I feel like most people would think, right? Am I like, he'll go with your, with, cause you, the zone of humor, you take it there, right?
Off of camera, and a lot of people don't know, Tommy is a hyena.
Okay.
Tommy is a jackal hyena that wants to sarcastically make fun of you in a smart way that you may not catch on to, walk the other way and laugh at you. Like, he's up here with it. Okay. And what I remember, and it's funny because every now and then I'll watch a Bassmaster from 18 years ago that I did with Tommy, and I will say things that obviously these days cannot be said. You cannot say that or you will get fired. And I remember, like, Tommy would look at me and they'd air it. They would air that crap, right?
I need a specific episode. I need you
There were several, because, like, I'll listen to it now and woo, 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 woo. But I am married to the Scorpion. I am married to Karen. But when you sit next to somebody, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but I don't sit next to Karen for 7 hours a day and communicate. I would like to. I did it on vacation, or tried.
Twice today you pissed her off, by the way.
So, she's an Avatar watching the film movie. But but being next to Tommy for 2 decades, you either can have chemistry and talk to, and I probably communicated with Tommy more than any human being on earth, period, ever. Is, I think through the years, you know, I know at first, I know this, that my behavior rubbed him
okay,
the wrong way. I would call him certain names. I used to call him Tommy Sanchez.
Sanchez,
I called him Timmy Sanchez once, and we went to commercial break, and he said, "Hey, don't ever do that again." Well, we came back from break, and I did it. Right. I'll never forget it. We were
at the dirt with Marcona, indeed.
We were at a classic the next year, and these dudes, obviously, I don't know, might have been you at the time. They walked out of the Coliseum. It was at I think it was at Red River, wherever it was at. And they walked out and they screamed at Sanchez. And he looked at me, he's like, "See, that's what I'm getting at. My last name is Sanders." So as the years have gone on, look, I know he's only been truly, really pissed at me one time, and rightfully so. But as the years have gone on, he is not scared to misbehave and be, especially when, you know, when crap is slow, he'll jump in the pool too.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't hang you out to dry. He goes.
No, he'll jump right in.
Especially now. I guess that's what I was getting at, is it does seem over the years he's loosened up with that for sure. Cause and he's got a great sense of humor, even
unbelievable.
I mean, he's funny. I mean, he is, but he's just legendary, man. I think back to the old FLW days with Jerry and all. I mean, just grew up watching the guy.
And I always, I said this to you before. I said, always remember, before you guys started NPFL, I said, always remember, when you're doing live, there's a hot mic. There's a hot mic. Well, when we really started doing live coverage, there was an angler that was a handful. He was a handful. And we were at commercial break, and evidently the mics were hot. This is many, many years ago. The mics were hot, and somebody puts on Facebook, "Wow, the commentary at commercial break is so much more entertaining than the commentary. And somebody runs in the break room and said, "Your mics are hot." And we all so great.
And that is easier to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Realize, I mean, we wear a mic pack, whatever, but the control room, sometimes they might fall asleep at the wheel too in that situation. Yeah. Fat Cat and I almost got hung out to dry or something like that. That did go, it was in a commercial break.
Yeah.
Commercial audio was up. We were talking about someone.
Yeah.
And received a text. Someone heard it.
See,
from one of my bosses. Luckily it wasn't ESPN or whatever, right? But still,
it was not malicious or horrible.
That's how this was.
We were actually restating something that angler said to us once. That is horrifically horrible. And anyway,
that's my number one fear in life, is that, because coverage goes down, somebody says something and you go, "Oh my," or dude, even if it's somebody blowing them out of the water, catching 6 and 7 pounders, and you scream, cuss, whatever. I don't even know who's watching. You don't want that to be the day that it ends.
Evidently Lee Corso is the only one that can get away with that right now in the country.
Anyways, all right, one last thing, because you gave me a lot of time. We were trying to squeeze this in your busy day, and luckily the Scorpion Queen did go to see Avatar, so
worked out great,
so you didn't have any honeydews.
I used you to not go see.
Oh God, don't say that publicly, please. Because I love your wife and I don't need that. I don't need
bless
that.
Her heart.
I don't need that, I don't need that bad karma on me.
Right.
Just, and this is a cliche question. Give me, or putting you on the spot, give me your angler of the year pick 2023. Based on the last years, we got some anglers back. The field gets tougher and tougher and tougher every year. Coming from the opens, who you think? Give me an AOI pick that we can go back in November and be like, Zona was right.
It's you know, to look at, to look at Angler of the Year, and you know this, it's really an entire body. It's an entire body of work. I am going to get, we have a lot of grass lakes. We got a lot of, more so, we have more smallmouth lakes. I'm giving it to one of the Johnstons. If they don't cannibalize and devour each other, which I've seen happen, I just think that, look, they're always in the top 20. And how they do, and here's what's weird about those two. They make, especially on smallmouth, but they're incredible largemouth fishermen on lakes with grass. And, you know, we're going to be starting in Florida. I think they'll do really well in the first one. But they just show enough flashes where you're going to see one of them outpace the field this year. But one of the things that I've grown up with, and I said this on a Zona show last week, is I've grown up fishing with some of the best smallmouth fishermen to ever, whether they're professional anglers or not professional anglers. What's really bizarre about Chris and Corey, and I fished extensively with Corey and I've fished with Chris, is what they've done I think a lot of our crew does, and I think a lot of viewers has taken for granted when they are smallmouth fishing. When they are smallmouth fishing, they have made what they do seem so incredibly easy, and it's so incredibly hard. Like, wow. a failure smallmouth day for those boys is 22 pounds.
Oh yeah, they get pissed.
Like you. I'm going to give it to one of them. I think Patrick is poised to go after it now. I think he's definitely gonna be in the running this year with the lakes that we're going to. Patrick is all, and he would not mind me saying this. Patrick is always, you know, he is capable of destruction at times.
Saw it with NBFL this year.
Absolutely.
He only fished five of our six events, and I gave him AOI just because he was. But then there, he would just have this day where you'd all but give him the tournament, and you're like, oh, okay.
And then he had him and I
had 24.
We had one of those taping days together. It was magically not good. It really was. But I think he is capable. He's like one of those dudes where if he gets some traction, he can roll. He can definitely roll. You know, the other one that and you brought him up, another one that I think's a killer, I think Livesey, if he can sustain up in smallmouth waters. See, now I'm naming 5% of field, but I'll always put in there, especially if you got Okeechobee, St. John's, Sabine, you just put three of them in Hackney's back pocket. And I got news. Hackney's a damn good smallmouth fisherman. He's really, that boy will throw a tube around, if you know what I mean.
He ain't bashful about it, is he? He likes a spinner pole.
I got to walk you through the side hunting room before I get done here.
Yes, okay? let's see it. Yeah, but closing out LBL.
I've not been in this room. I've not been in this room for like since the hunting season stopped. It's the summer room, but that we got that. We're going to start with that right there.
Oh,
that's a nice one right there. That was from Colorado, but you're going to love this. I'm going to take you over here. This was a Christmas present. This is actually from South America. Look at that thing.
What?
Is that fantastic? Is that fantastic? But if you put it upside down, it's a doe's ass. Binoculars, but look here. Look at this little treat. Why wouldn't I have an AR just sitting on the floor?
You always got to be ready. Head on a swivel.
Evidently. You never know.
Are you guys frozen up there? Hard water?
We were, it's hard to see. We were last week, but everything opened back up. So actually should be on the water here in the next 4 or 5 days. So.
Wow. Okay. Mark
Zeller. Luke, I want to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Congrats on 196. That's a lot of BS right there. Trust me. I understand. Listen,
when you go week in and week out talking bass fishing.
Yeah.
That's what I always say about Matt Pangrat, BTO, or Mark Jeffries back. Dude, two live shows about bass fishing a week. I'm like, good. Hey, good luck.
Hey,
good job. It's a lot.
Did you and I get through an entire LBL without talking about like Wilburn stuff? Hold on, I just did. I'm sorry.
I did it. Listen, he retired he retired or whatever the hell he did. Here's all I'll finish with this just for you and you alone is I outlasted that bastard.
Here's the question. Did we?
I don't know.
Did we?
I don't know if we did.
Michael Jordan, Brett Favre, and Tom Brady, they've all come back. Did we?
This is true. You never know.
I love you, Luke.
I love you, buddy. Mark Zona, everybody.
I love it.
All right. The one, the only Uncle Z. What can I say? It's always amazing. Always a fantastic time with Mark. I'm always going to laugh. I'm always going to learn. And I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. LBL 2023, I'm having a good time. Now, it's hard to – listen, you come out of the gate swinging, okay? First two episodes of the year, we swinging. We're closing in on 200 episodes, and we are swinging. But it's hard to swing like that every week. At some point, there's going to be one y'all going to click on. You're like, Now, get that. I can't bat 1,000 every week. But the first two damn weeks of the year, pretty fun. I got some other things lined up that I think y'all are really going to enjoy. I want to thank the W Sauce for bringing you that interview, and I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, week out, being lowlifers, being loyal, and always being here, man. I see y'all in the comments. I see you in the comments on social, YouTube. Thank you. thank you. I'm going to keep doing it till I ain't got any breath left. And just grateful for each and every one of y'all. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues this week, as always, every week. And I will see y'all next time.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no. And a spare, just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough.